This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes a strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. We're going to talk about the news that we mentioned during the intro to the show, which broke at about 2 o'clock Mountain Time earlier today, and it was absolutely insane. Ramona Shelburne of ESPN saying that Kyrie Irving last week actually requested a trade from the Cleveland Cavaliers. Boy, how the mighty have fallen this summer. Cleveland has done nothing to get better. It looks as if LeBron James may be on his way out, and now we're talking about Kyrie Irving requesting a trade. Joining us over the phone right now, we have Jabari Davis, who was the host of Triple Threat NBA Talk every Sunday here on KOAL. Jabari, it's great to get you back on. Thank you.
Great to be on with you. Unbelievable circumstances, but good to be here. Thank you.
Definitely not expecting this on a Friday. It was a quiet afternoon on Friday, and I'm sitting here thinking, okay, we're going to have to talk some abstract sports conversations this afternoon on Drive Time Sports. And then, lo and behold, the news breaks that Kyrie Irving has requested a trade. Now, I will say this, Jabari, it's somewhat interesting considering there was a trade rumor that floated around the state of Utah before the NBA draft that said the Jazz may be interested in Kyrie. Obviously, right? I mean, that's a no-brainer. And I never really gave that much credibility. And I talked about this on the show yesterday, the idea of LeBron James leaving Cleveland and eventually going to Los Angeles. A month ago, I said it was nonsense. Now I'm starting to see that there's some credibility there as well. This looks like the beginning of the end for the Cleveland Cavaliers and the run that we have watched over the last 3 years.
You know, I normally go with, you know, when there's smoke, there's fire. There are actual flames here. Like, I have no idea what's going on in Cleveland, but what it absolutely looks like is they're about ready to torpedo that whole thing, which is absolutely crazy because, you know, you and I have talked about this, and obviously we've discussed it with Jameson as well on the show. I thought Cleveland would have still been in the mix for, you know, for years to come. And then all of a sudden, you know, not even, what are we, like less than a month or less than a month and a half, you know, from the finals, and it appears that they're going to be in a rebuild situation, you know, maybe even starting this season.
I don't believe Cleveland is going to trade Kyrie Irving before next season. I just don't see it happening. And I'll tell you why I don't see it happening. Because talent such as Paul George and Jimmy Butler have already found a new place to play. There were too many big names circulating where a trade made a little bit more sense for Cleveland, especially if you wanted to get a third or fourth team involved. You would have another all-star switching addresses with Kyrie. At this point in time, this late in the summer, I just don't see it happening. But if by chance it does, where could Kyrie actually land?
I think if you're a team like the Clippers, you just lost Chris Paul, you got a bevy of, you know, guys for him, you have to find a way to at least start that conversation. If you're a team like the Spurs, who obviously have been trying to get it, you know, back into the conversation, and that's not to say that they're not still one of the top two or three teams in the league, or, you know, four teams in the league. But, you know, there were plenty of rumors out there about them trying to make moves to start the summer, and they were, you know, they were unable to do that. They were unsuccessful. I think if you're a team that's on the cusp or believe that you're on the cusp, you have to at least have those discussions, whether it takes bringing in a third team, or however it has to get done. If a guy like Kyrie, and like you, it's not that I'm necessarily anticipating it happen, but if there's even a possibility, a remote possibility, you have to put yourself in that conversation.
You know, with that being said, Jabari, there are a lot of trade rumors that get discussed, or I guess we couldn't even call them rumors, a lot of trade scenarios that get discussed in the offseason that don't actually make it to the media. Now, it's ironic we're talking about this conversation right now. I don't want to get too far off the beaten path, but yesterday I was watching clips of the way free agent signings were announced back in the day. And by back in the day, I'm talking about 1996, about Shaq when he left Orlando and signed in L.A., You watch the clip of that, how it actually went down, how the world found out about it. It was breaking news in the middle of SportsCenter that a press conference was going to take place. The way things used to happen and to the way things happen today, completely different. I mean, in every possible scenario. And the point I'm trying to make is this is a rumor that he requested a trade. That's where we're sitting at right now.
Yeah, and that's true, and you know that's why you're great at what you do. You're not going to jump, jump off. You're not going to jump off the roof, based upon every single rumor. But the thing of it is, the reason why this seems to have legs is because you don't normally hear the player specifically requesting. So what that means, for individuals out there, Jordan's exactly right. A lot of there are so many rumors that swirl around, whether it's off season, regular season, whenever, all year. But the thing is, when you have it dropped that a player requested it, that generally comes from the player's representatives. And I know, whether it's a dirty secret or everybody's aware of this, oftentimes most of those rumors are dropped by by representatives or people, people from around the player, or sometimes maybe even the player themselves. This one in particular, it comes on the heels of the rumors that the team was actually considering a move that involves him. And now, obviously with everything going on with LeBron, it certainly looks like he's at least exploring his options. Not to say that he's going to leave Cleveland again, but it certainly looks like he's exploring his options. When you then hear this on the heels of that, again, just reading the tea leaves, it certainly seems like there are some flames that go to this.
Again, our guest right now was Jabari Davis. As we talk about the news earlier today, Kyrie Irving has formally requested a trade from the Cleveland Cavaliers. Again, I just don't anticipate anything getting done within the very near future, because, again, one of the big dominoes that is yet to fall this offseason is Carmelo Anthony. And I don't want to talk a lot about Carmelo because we did that yesterday. But the fact remains, Jameson, the Cleveland Cavaliers are in a very peculiar situation. We had James Hollis on the show earlier this week, and I asked James this question, and he said, boy, it's a very difficult spot for Dan Gilbert to be in. I'm going to ask you the same question, because this is my belief. If you have any doubt that LeBron James is going to leave at the end of this season, and you know that Kyrie Irving is unhappy, and you have Kevin Love, who I don't know is real coveted right now through trade talk, but the fact remains, Dan Gilbert has a lot of all-stars at his dispense right now. If he wanted to move on from any of these names, Cleveland would not be completely bare. You would get something in return. So at what point in time do you have to at least explore that idea? And I bring this question up because Dan Gilbert lost one of the greatest talents in the history of the NBA once already for nothing. You can't do that twice in a 10-year span. You can't afford your franchise can't afford for that to happen. And I think they're floating down those waters right now. So at what point in time do you explore trade talks?
Right here and right now. And I'm not saying that being hyperbolic. Right here and right now, you have to at least go in and have the conversation with the players. Before you get on the horn and start calling other GMs or other owners or whomever you're in contact with, you have to have a real conversation with the players, right? Or their representatives, and say, hey, look, is this a real thing? Do we need basically don't leave me at the altar again. And if you're not 100% comfortable with the response that you get from LeBron James' people, then you have to explore that. Then the conversation then turns to, where would you like to go? If we were to explore this, where would you like to go? Because Cleveland fans will get upset about hearing that, but the reality is, and you just nailed it, you can't have this happen two times within 10 years, especially since you're not going to get lucky and get the number one pick something like 3 of the next 5 years after that again.
No, Cleveland was in a beautiful situation post-LeBron James, and then you acquire him back without giving up a whole lot outside of Andrew Wiggins. And so, I mean, really, this is a situation that I think it looks like a mess on paper, but let's be honest, a lot of teams in the NBA would probably trade their current situation for Cleveland's current situation, knowing that you have guys of value.
Yes. No, and you're right. And, just like I said, it isn't like you're just going to just make whatever the very first deal is. You can, if they determine that one or more than one of those guys needs to be moved and it's time to go ahead and start that process, well, then, you get the best option. You weigh all your options and you just take the best one. Obviously they've been trying to move Kevin Love, I don't even have to say allegedly or reportedly, that's been out there for years in particular, that's been out there for months. Reportedly, certain teams weren't comfortable with his, with his physical well-being, enough moving forward in order to accept his deal. But if you can't get anything for him, you have to move up that ladder. And you know what? Maybe the first person prior to even going to LeBron, and maybe the first person you have to sit down to talk to is Kyrie and say, hey, look, is this real? Are you just upset? Is this a matter of, are you disappointed because you heard your name, rumored? You have to have that conversation. But once you have them, you have to make the best decision for your franchise moving forward.
It's a little bit more abstract. It's a little bit more what if. But you mentioned the Clippers. If you were in charge of the Clippers, you would get involved in trade talks immediately. Jabari, let me throw another team name out there for you. For as bad as things have been, if I am the New York Knicks, I do everything in my power to get Kyrie Irving. Everything. Because this is a guy, you could hit the reset button on the whole deal that went down with Phil Jackson. You can hit the reset button on years of bad front office moves. And if by chance you can hang on to KP in the process, you have two building blocks. New York should be front and center trying to grab Kyrie if, in fact, Cleveland is trying to move this guy.
That is a fantastic idea, and your last point was exactly the case. If you can do it and hold on to KP and build around those two, there's absolutely no reason. There are no limits that they should not go to. You know what I mean? Like they absolutely should do everything within their power. KP and Kyrie wouldn't put you as contenders right away, it would be a lot better than what you've got going on. You need to get Carmelo off your roster at some point, and he's looking to move on. Same thing I said about the Clippers. Same thing I said about San Antonio or any other team that actually think they're on a cusp. For the Knicks in particular, they definitely need to be front and center as well. I agree.
Yeah, because let's be honest, there's two places that you want to be in the NBA. You either want to be a top dog contending or you want to be a bottom feeder. That's what the collective bargaining agreement is set up. The current CBA has set that up. So if you are at the bottom, and I view the New York Knicks right now at the bottom, they have some terrible contracts in the last 5 to 10 years have been a disaster. This is a potential franchise-altering move that you need to go all in on.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. Even if it takes, of course, they're a prize signing that they just brought back in, and Tim Hardaway Jr., whatever it takes. If you're the Knicks, the thing about the NBA, and that's an excellent point, they really did just eliminate the middle class. I mean, the middle class still exists, but you're really just there in purgatory at that stage. So you might as well swing for the fences, especially if you're the Knicks and you're in that market and you want to finally get some shine actually truly back onto that market, as opposed to you're just telling everybody, hey, this is the Mecca of basketball and all of that. Why wouldn't you try to bring in a guy as special as Kyrie?
Last question before I let you go, Jabari. We'll go away from the Kyrie talk here for a moment. Derrick Rose should be picking a team here shortly. Where, in fact, does he go? Is it a return to Chicago? Does he go to L.A.? I actually don't mind the fit in L.A. I hate the idea in Cleveland. But look, if you are going to explore the idea of moving Kyrie, Derrick Rose may actually have quite a bit of value in Cleveland. So where does Derrick Rose go?
If I'm Derrick Rose, I'm signing with as close to a contender as I can. I understand the rumors in LA, especially when you have Magic. He's come out a couple times and said, he'd probably rather go with a veteran, point guard or guard alongside Lonzo. And I get that. The concerns that I have there is, yes, they could make it fit, but Derrick Rose, even though some of the athleticism is gone, he's still a one-on-one guy. He's still an ISO guy, and that doesn't necessarily seem to vibe as well with what Luke is trying to do there. If a lot of people were upset about D'Angelo Russell being moved. I also think that was part of it. You can make of it what you want about like the personality or like the history or any of that. I think part of it was just simply that they didn't want that type of player moving forward. And if they had the option to move forward with guys that were willing to move the ball around, quick passes and obviously if the shot's there, you take it. It certainly seems like that's the direction you're trying to go. So if I'm the Lakers, even though they want to bring a veteran in, I probably don't go that direction. And if I'm Derrick Rose, I'm looking to get on the best possible team because, the days of the huge paydays, while some players are still getting them, for him, that might not necessarily be in the cards. So, you kind of have to weigh, is it the most money that you can possibly get or the best opportunity, to win moving forward?
And if you want to go with the least amount of pressure, I say you go back to Chicago. Because at the end of the day, the whole idea of him leaving Chicago in the first place, I was fine with that move because I thought the level of expectation from the city and the level of expectation from Derrick Rose, it just wasn't meshing. Now that you've taken a break and the expectations have died down a bit and we know what Chicago is and we know what Derrick Rose is, that seems like a better fit right now. So really, if it's down between those three teams, to me, Chicago is the best fit based off of what I just said.
I actually agree with that. For whatever the reason was, and there were rumors out there that he and Jimmy Butler weren't necessarily the best fit, especially once Jimmy Butler ascended to being a top player in the game. Maybe there was resentment. Maybe it was just simply a matter of them not vibing well. But if I'm the Bulls, there are far worse things that you can do. They're going to need a guy. They're going to need, you know, additional guys, you know, alongside Markkanen and, you know, those other pieces that they have there, you know, that can put the ball in the basket. And, it, you know, nobody hates. As a matter of fact, most people love a coming home story. So, I mean, if I'm him and I can't get on with an actual contender, that probably would be my choice as well.
Jabari Davis taking out the time to join us here on this Friday to talk about the news of Kyrie Irving requesting a trade and also filling us in on the Derrick Rose free agency situation. Make sure you give him a follow at Jabari Davis NBA on Twitter. And of course, he is the host of Triple Threat NBA Talk, which is every Sunday right here on KOAL. So Jabari, always a pleasure to get you on. I definitely appreciate you taking out the time. Thank you.
Pleasure is mine. I look forward to talking to you on Triple Threat.
Definitely. We got a break for just a moment, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.